listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Awesome. Well done, Eleanor and team. That was awesome. Fantastic. And that song is pretty much, I guess, our sermon for today. That's kind of, I guess, what we're going to talk about how if we just spoke how Jesus might speak into a circumstance, into a situation, and maybe we held ourselves back from saying things that Jesus wouldn't say, we'd probably be in a lot better positions in a lot of our relationships. I'm going to invite our panel up. So if I can invite Dawn and Antoinette and Rod to come up, let's give them a hand, please, everyone, while you're clapping. So we're doing something a little bit different today. We're going to just ask a few questions and get our expert panel to just give some thoughts and reflections on some of the things that they want to share. And this kind of has come about because Dawn caught up with me earlier in the year just about something that God really spoke to her about in this area. And we've been trying to find a time for the next 7 or 8 months to make a time. So we've decided to do it in this format, which I think is going to be really good. But so we've talked about speaking life, speaking truth, and speaking encouragement. And I guess what we're going to do today is just open up a couple of Bible verses and just get these guys to share some thoughts and just some other things they've learnt over their journey about their experiences, I guess, of when they've had life spoken to them, and maybe the other side of that as well, when someone's spoken death over you, when someone's spoken a negative. So my first question, we'll start with Dawn. Can you share something notable that someone has said to you that has had either a really positive or a really negative impact for you?
Well, I decided that when you've lived as many years as I have, there's so many, I actually couldn't tell you which ones, but I just know that when those words of negativity are spoken, they've crushed. And even though I might have put on a big smile, it actually hurt underneath. So kids, when I was in primary school, I was called Fatso. And I was a bit bigger than I am now, but I had an issue with weight for years and years and years. But just because the kids would continually call me that, it actually hurt within, and it actually damaged a lot of my soul that I just didn't even know about until God showed me some other things when I got older. So negative words, you mightn't think that they're that important, but boy, they are.
Thank you. Similar sort of thing. In year 8, I was bullied. And coming from a safe environment in primary school, that really shocked me. And it quite shattered what self-esteem a child has. And I look back and I realise that I kind of gave these people a little bit too much power. Like, I reflect over it now, like 40-odd years later, and I'm thinking, who are these people that I let them speak that into my life? They're nobody. They're nobody to me now. And if I could say something to my teenage self now, it's just realise you are valuable, you have a place in this world. You don't know what gifts, you don't know what the future holds for you, but just get excited about it. You're precious. You have gifts and talents that you don't know about yet, but God will bring them out. And that He loves you. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. He loves you. And I remember someone saying something along the lines of, your image of yourself is how the person that's most important in your life sees you. And God is the most important person in your life. So that's how you should see yourself. And I mean, those comments can still come back to me sometimes, but I think how the enemy puts through those words, it's like the fiery darts that the Bible talks about. And while God has removed the fiery darts, the Holy Spirit is still tending the wounds. And every now and again, they come up. It's a journey. But at least now I know who I can go to with my pain and who loves me the most.
Yeah, so an example of someone speaking positively into my life stems back probably to our youth leaders and our Sunday school leaders and kids club from Taproot Primary School days, even to, you know, youth leaders like Antoinette and Dave and Kerry and Branton and those guys that, yeah, as we met here on a Friday night back in the 90s, yeah, someone that had influence and I guess sowed the seed of the gospel. And then I guess another person would be someone like Scott Davey. You might know this chap, but I was approached. I was in very early high school and was approached by this chap after the church on a Sunday and was asked if I'd like a job. And, you know, that's someone that was willing to take a chance, was, yeah, a voice of confidence and yeah, I'm where I am today for purely for that chap there. And, you know, he was, yeah, pivotal in shaping who I am or where I am and all those things, yeah. So positive, yeah.
All right. So some examples there of how people can say something to you that can really set you on a course, positively or negatively. And I guess when it's something positive, we're to take that and measure it and see if that's what, you know, if God agrees with that and to really take it to heart. But when it's negative, I guess, like that song was saying, if it's not something that Jesus would say to us, then let it go. You know, let it leave. I've just finished reading the story of Joseph in the last couple of days, and the thing about speaking life and truth was very real in his life. It just came to me just as the guys were speaking then that in chapter 37, where we get introduced to Joseph, it says, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Really interesting. Someone that was going to be so pivotal in their life that they couldn't speak a positive word. And even though they meant destruction for him, God brought good out of it. So just a reminder for us all that just that little bit of encouragement. I think Rod's example is really good. Just someone speaking some life into him and giving an opportunity. I guess you never imagine what that would lead to down the track, showing some faith in someone. So really good. All right, we're going to read a verse. And I think we've got this one up on the PowerPoint. If we can bring it up. Thanks, Wes, maybe or maybe not. And I think it's all up there. James 1 verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So I've just asked our panel here just to share some thoughts on that verse and what that means to them.
Having two young boys... is fun, as we all know. And I got home from wherever I was at one point, and obviously the boys are of age, we leave them at home safely. And there was a hole in the wall, and I got one story and then walked out the back because I wanted to take the time to think about it, think about how I would react, think about... All the rage that, you know, would come. So I walked out the back, and not long after, I think Tracy got home, and we get the second story, which was different to the first, and so not that a family meeting was called, but you know, I rather than go off at the first lad, you know, I just took time to, you know, and this is really quite a basic example, but I know even in the business and stuff, we deliberate over a lot of things before we make a decision, and I think that's this sort of thing. Flipping that, the anger was that first example, but I get a lot of people that come through the workshop and from all walks of life, and... I'm not someone that would give my thoughts, my point of view straight away. Just more of a listener first, and I think that's something that I've learnt to be, which I think is invaluable. So being able to listen first, yeah.
As you probably know, I don't talk a lot. I don't say a lot of stuff, but I like to listen to people, and so that kind of that scripture really resonates with me, and the part where it says talking about the controlling, what does it say? don't become angry and slow to speak. Quite often I'll get situations at work. Some I handle better than others. But sometimes it pays just to kind of take a step back. And particularly if that sort of interaction comes over email, you just kind of want to quickly send off something. And I've just learned to perhaps just sleep on it. Because I'm sure everybody has said or done something and think, oh, I wish I could have taken that back. I heard a quote once that said, I've often regretted my words, but I've really regretted my silences. And I think sometimes we just need to take a step back and think about what we're saying.
Those who know me know that I couldn't say that because I don't have many silences. later on I will talk about regretting my words. My basic temperament is to answer quickly. Poor Paul, sometimes I answer for him. I still do it. We've been married nearly 49 years, and I still do it sometimes. So basic temperaments are something at the bottom of it, but I am also learning about myself, and we've really appreciated some of you did a course with Paul Wetham, Soul Food Cafe, and I'm putting a plug in for it because there's a free session, quite a few sessions that we've had where we do some homework, and Paul's not a part of it, but it's a Zoom, and it's been really, really good, and it's been a growing point for Paul and me, and he's learning to speak up more, and I guess you would know that I'm trying to do the opposite.
Very good. Yeah, I think, like you said, Antoinette, I think just, yeah, that you rarely when you rush does it turn out well. And I think, yeah, when you allow yourself that time to digest it, I've heard of people having emails as a draft and they wait until the morning to see if they feel like sending it still. And quite often they're just like, delete, 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 because it might have caused a whole world of pain for someone else. But, yeah, being quick to listen is really good, because as we become good listeners, not just waiting to speak, we quite often pick up things that maybe we're just going to miss if we're not really listening attentively. So I think that's a really great piece of wisdom in that scripture. All right, we're going to read a bit of a longer scripture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to read the whole thing because I think the context is important, but there's a couple of key little verses that talk about our words and how we speak, and I think we'll get some reflections from the guys here in a minute. So therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. So it's a bit in there, but just wondered what you guys, maybe just some little bits that you've got out of that scripture.
Yeah, just so much there. But the ones that really came out to me were verses 19 to 21, which is talking about the prophetic message, because that's going to relate to what I want to share afterwards. And it does say to take them into account. It does say don't quench the Spirit. And I believe that very often words are spoken to us, and I'm aware that if we aren't careful and don't stop and listen, that sometimes we don't realise this is actually a wisdom that Holy Spirit's giving me. But it also says test them. And I think that's really important, as you mentioned, Paul, about testing the words and just saying, God, so what are you wanting to show me in my life about from this?
What resonated with me was a bit about encourage people. And I think really that's one of the easiest things that God asks us to do. It doesn't take a lot. Even the checkout girl, you know, there was a girl at the chemist who got engaged, and I noticed her engagement ring. And I said, well, that's a beautiful ring. And her face just lit up to the fact that someone even noticed her ring. You know, and I went back about a year later and they'd got married. I said, oh, you got a wedding ring now. And she was just so surprised that I'd even remember that she was a girl from the year before. So it's just little things like that. And I don't know, just yeah, it's not a big thing just to speak nice words into people's lives. You can see their face light up, and particularly people who don't have, like, people at home to encourage them. They're on their own. You're just little words. Don't waste an opportunity. No matter how lame you think it is, never waste an opportunity.
Yeah, same as Antoinette. I think the first couple there, they encourage one another, build each other up, acknowledge those who work hard. I think we did that all last week with Hans. You know, so I think our church does that well. But, yeah, my encouragement would be that each week we come to church, you know, seek someone out, find someone out to continue to do that. And then another point I had on that is, that might not always be the same person that is encouraging you. That might come from numerous people. Yeah, old, young.
Yeah, I second that. It's good to come to church with a word to share, not necessarily from out the front, but just even go up to one person and just speaking something into someone's life who may have had a really rough week, who may be feeling very down, very unsure about a circumstance. Just that ability to be able to speak an encouragement, to speak some life is really good. Like Antoinette said, from the person down at the shops right through to the people that we see here every week. And especially as you step out in faith to maybe share a word, if you believe God's given it to you, to someone you don't know, that speaks even more powerfully, because if you don't know that person at all, if you don't know their circumstances at all, that just doubly confirms for people that it's something that the Holy Spirit has shown them. All right, our last scripture that we're going to look at is back to James chapter 3. And this one's especially for Dawn. This is a request for Dawn. James 3, verse 3 to 6. I think we've got that one up there, actually. Yep, there we go. All right. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. That's some strong words at the end there. Now, Dawn's got a fair bit to share on this because it's something that God really revealed something to her. So we'll start with Rod and come back to Dawn, I think, for this one. Thank you.
Yeah, mine's really short. It's just monitoring your tongue. It's monitoring what you say and in what attitude. You know, we all go through different stuff, but if we put that aside before we, you know, it's a bit like that quick to listen, slow to speak type thing. I think it sort of, you know, refers back to that. We just, yeah.
And mine's even shorter than that. It's just because you think something doesn't mean you have to say it. You know, I heard that in a movie once. So I thought, oh my gosh, that is so good. It's true, because we live in a world where you think, oh, I'm entitled to my opinion, and you are, but you've got to think of where that opinion's going. I mean, a gun's got an entitlement to be fired off, but it's not always a wise thing to do.
So this all started ages ago. Ron, you had given a sermon on speaking, and this was before we've sort of done this series, but it's about 8 months ago, something like that. And Ron had something about how we can't put the things back in the box. I can't even remember what it was. That was it. And it just reminded me of the condemnation. I used to feel really condemned by the words that I spoke. My family's trait, sadly, it's not something that was nice, and I'm talking my own home that I grew up in, and I've spoken about my dad a bit before and my brother. They were very actually cutting in some of the things they'd say. And my mother wasn't, but I had that trait, and even though I knew God and I knew I wanted to speak words of encouragement, that wasn't always what came out. And then, I don't know if anybody else has this trouble, but I sure did, I'd then go around, oh God, why did I say that? I wish I hadn't said that. Oh God, I just wanted to encourage the people. Why did I say that? Well, that was the scene that was set. We had an absolutely wonderful camp. Hayden was not quite 18 months old, and we had an incredible camp that Paul spoke about when he was baptized in the Spirit. We'd come home from that camp, and a day or so later, one of the people who was the leaders at the camp rang and said, "I'm ringing for my wife because she is just too," I don't think she said scared, but that would be the word, to say this to you, because she's never had a word like this to give to someone. And it's this Bible passage. And it was the James 3 one. And he said, "So I'm just bringing it to you, Dawn, and asking that you would prayerfully consider this." I went, "Oh, okay." I've never had anyone deliver a Bible passage like that to me before either, so okay. So it was very busy. We had visitors there and lots of little children around, but I just knew I needed to go into the other room. Well, when I read that, I thought, what is this saying? And so I'm in my 20s, right? And I'm going, "Oh, that's all right." You know, there was a song at that time, "It only takes a spark to get a flat fire going." And I thought, "Oh, that's it. I speak the spark of God into people's lives. Yeah." And I read it some more. And I was saying, "God, what are you really saying?" And then I got angry. I found myself getting really angry. How dare they? I say, I encourage people. And then I realised God was speaking to me, and I'm there in tears. And God, this is speaking right to what's been really bugging me for years. I knew that I didn't necessarily encourage people. And yet I wanted to. We want to do these things, and yet we make a decision we won't, but then what do we go and do? Just what we made a decision that we wouldn't do. And I just said, "Lord, you know," I don't know the exact words, but it was something like, "You know that I don't want to do these things. I want to encourage people, but there's something wrong, and I don't know what it is, but I'm going to give you my tongue." Now, when you give God your tongue, it doesn't mean you go and rip it out of your mouth, does it? What do you think giving my tongue to God means? What do you reckon? I didn't go and poke my tongue out at him. Any thoughts, kid, young people? When you give God something, people use that phrase, and we don't really give it to him. We're actually giving over. Yes.
So like letting God take control.
Thank you, darling. Exactly. Spot on. And so I really said, "God, I want to give you my tongue because I can't handle it. I want to give you my tongue." It was only, and I just went, you know, "Thank you for that word, God, and thank you. You're obviously going to address this somehow, but I don't know how." But do you know, it was a couple of months later, and I said, "Paul, I haven't done that again. I haven't said those cutting words. What is it?" And I realised that God had actually not just dealt with my tongue. He dealt with deeper down. And he'd actually given me a new kind of love for people. That I still had lots of hassles, and you know, even now, God's still refining me. Boy, people who know me a bit better know that. But something changed, and I knew a love for people like I'd never known them before. And I just say, "Thank you, Lord," because it's when it changes us within. So I just encourage people, if you feel a bit condemned sometimes by what you say, I'd love to share with you. I'd love to pray with you. Because, boy, I've been there. I've done that. And God, and maybe others, but I just want to say, I understand. What's that called? Empathy? I understand, and there is no condemnation, but God does want to fill us with his love.
I've got a follow-up question, which I'll ask at the end, because we've got we're going to have a chance for you guys to ask some questions or just share any thoughts that you've got out of today. But one last question. Just want to ask you all individually now, just something that you've learned. It might have even been the last few weeks through this series, but just something that God's shown you, or maybe a little lesson you've learned about how you use your words, how you speak to others, I guess, this year.
I think the main thing is that... people say that even if they don't know me, they say, were you a teacher? Yeah. And so teachers can come across, or people who are that way inclined, who have that, can often come across like we think we know it all. And we don't. And I think if we're not careful, and I think as older people too, this is, I think it's very, very easy to say, you must. Or you should. And God's been speaking to me about that this year, to change my way of saying things, to say, maybe, I wonder, have you thought about, rather than giving instruction.
Working at a university, you've come across people who've got lots of opinions on everything. And I've... God has been teaching me this over a couple of years, because I'm a bit of an observer. I like watching people. And he's kind of saying, it's okay not to have an opinion on something. You know, if you don't know, you don't know. You know, sometimes we feel like we've got to say something just to fill the gap, and we don't. So that's something that's been driving home to me. I tend to just watch people now instead of feeling like I have to say something just to say something. And, of course, coming back to that quote that I had before, that I've... often regretted my words, but very rarely my silences.
Similar to Antoinette, I was chatting only a few weeks ago to a couple that had come through the workshop, and you fall into a conversation with someone, don't you, sometimes, and feel that you're getting caught, that you need to add things and you need to say things, and I found myself saying something that I regretted and then quickly apologising for it. So... I don't know the lesson there, but I caught myself pretty quickly, you know, whether it was a judgment call or whether it was, knowing when, you know, those words aren't helpful, they're not building up, they're not making things better, they're actually making things worse. So to recognise that pretty quickly, like I did, and then I even, you know, sort of apologised and said, look, I didn't mean to say that, not that it was about these guys, but it was a general comment, but... to be able to pull myself up pretty quickly, and yeah.
All right, so we're going to have an opportunity for 5-10 minutes. If anyone's got any questions or comments on anything that's been shared and you'd like to ask a question, say something, just pop your hand up. I might just ask my follow-up question for Dawn. So the verse that you shared, it sounds like your experience was you'd been maybe speaking things that were true into people's lives, but the love wasn't there. Was that the major issue, that you felt that what you were doing, God was calling you to say, but the love wasn't there? Or
nah, I can't make it sound nice like that. There were lots of words of encouragement I gave, lots and lots, but I was very pointed in how I said things, and it was because I thought I was right. They weren't. No. Yeah. I can't. It'd be nice to say that, but no.
Honesty's better. That's good. All right. Any questions or comments? I think there's some really good things people have shared today. Anyone want to add or ask? Clarify?
Sorry. Because I think what it is what comes, what we speak comes out of our heart. So if we speak something, we then realise there's something not quite right here. I'm holding something against someone, or I'm frustrated, that's one of mine, or, you know.
Yeah. I think as Christians, it's easy to justify saying something strong or firm or harsh, because we can say, I am doing it in love because I want the best for them. I want them to not struggle with this. But I think it was only this year that I actually learnt the true meaning of that verse where Jesus said, don't put your pearls before swine. And I used to think it meant, like, be careful about the good things or how much you share your testimony and all that, because in front of the wrong people, they won't understand it, they won't appreciate it. But that's not actually what it means at all. What it actually means is that sometimes if you put your pearls before swine, it's basically if you go to feed someone something that's maybe not good for them at the time, they'll choke on it and die. And that's really what that verse means, that if you feed a pig pearls, they'll choke on it. That's what will happen. And sometimes what we want to say may be truthful, but the timing is really important about how we do it, how we say it, because at the wrong time, it can bring death into a person's circumstance. So, Hayden, Malachi, do you want to do a runner?
A question for Rod, and you sort of have already talked about this a few times, but I've heard from multiple people that you have... John did this on purpose for you because I just felt like you wanted to talk some more. That people come into your workshop frequently, you know, there's quite a continuous stream, and that it is a place of enrichment into their lives when they come into your workshop. And I guess I was wondering, I don't know whether you can describe that in some way, but how does that happen? Because you are someone who's an observer and you speak carefully, I think, as best I can tell. You know, you have a good joke and all of that, but, you know, and you've sort of talked about that, and yet people must be walking away feeling enriched. So how is it that that's happening? I know I'm putting you on this, you're really on the spot there. What are you doing in that moment that means they walk away feeling enriched, even though you're not, you know, preaching at them? So what are you doing?
There's a few different characters, I guess, that would answer that differently, that come into my workshop. I guess what I do first is listen. Everyone's quick to, you know, blow their own horn or talk about themselves, but I'm a listener. I think I get that from Tracy. I think I'm a listener. And, you know, I drop the C-bomb every now and then, not the nasty word, but the church, you know, word every now and then, and I'm sure that is something that I do really gently and not bashing them with a Bible and stuff. You know, I really try, and if it's someone that wants to take the time to know what I'm about or whatever, I try and do that back, and then, you know, gain someone's friendship before you invite them along or you encourage someone or you whatever. But I think the listening is, not quick to, and I like to think I'm humble, so I think. Does that answer your question?
And knowing these lovely people, as long as I have, they just exude a warmth anyway. I don't think it's anything that's manufactured. It's very authentic, and they just make you feel very welcome. So,
all right, might have time for one more. Anyone else? Comment, question? Sure.
I like what you were saying, Dawn, about what you were encouraging was actually quite pointed. And I think coming back to that, all of the encouragement that we speak is to come from love, which comes from the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes even when we go to speak encouragement, we have to be, like Paul said as well, that we have to be very careful with the timing of that, and to make sure that where it's coming from is actually a place of love, because we can get confused within ourselves, like Paul said, you know, think that we're trying to do the right thing. But it always has to overflow from love. And so I think, you know, let's never feel obligated to be an encourager, but let's actually ask God to transform us from the inside so that we're full of his love and it just naturally kind of overflows out of us to others. So.